GWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
We're about to take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, and thank you for stopping by for this midweek bonus episode. Tonight's guest is Matt from Boston in Massachusetts, and he will be sharing his paranormal experiences that occurred in a house on Martha's Vineyard in 2009. But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find the link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on today, man. Calling from Boston, Massachusetts?
Yes.
Good stuff. Okay. Now, today you're going to be sharing a paranormal experience that began in 2009. Would you like to start at the beginning for our listeners, please, Matt?
Yeah, sure. So in 2009, I took a transfer from my job. So I was working out of Boston. And there was a job opening on Martha's Vineyard, which is off the coast of Massachusetts, a very seasonal place, mostly, you know, just from, you know, May to September. There's people go out there for the summertime and it's very quiet in the winter. So when I moved out there, in April, it was pretty difficult to find a place to live. Because it was mostly seasonal rentals, so I was trying to find something that was very difficult. So I checked out a few places, nothing that I liked. It was me and my girlfriend at the time, so we were just looking around. And we came across this one house, and she showed us around, and it was a really nice place. It was a house. It wasn't an apartment. It had a pretty nice yard. It was 4 bedrooms, way more than we need. We only needed one, really, but the price was really good. So we ended up settling on it. It had a yard, but it, you know, the house was really old, but it was, you know, in great condition. So, and the landlord seemed, you know, she was really cool. And, one of the stipulations was she was leaving to Philadelphia to take care of her father who was ill. But she was a photographer on the island, and she asked, part of the agreement was, could she stay there a couple times, because she had a couple gigs she had to come back for like wedding shoots, and so she had to come back for a couple weekends. during the summer and stay at the house. And we were like, yeah, sure, no problem. Like, this works. I mean, the deal was so great, we couldn't pass it up. You know, we couldn't believe what we were getting for what we were paying, especially out there. So we were very excited. So once we moved in, it's probably a couple of weeks later after we met her, you know, we got everything moved in. We didn't have much because we didn't want to move too much to an island. It's very difficult to move everything on a ferry. So we only brought a few things. We just brought basically a bed, TV, and that was it. Cause you know, she had, there was a couch and a kitchen table. So that's pretty much all we brought. So one night, you know, we're just unpacking, putting everything away. Then we just, you know, figured we'd just kind of relax. It was late at night. So we just sat down on the couch, turned on the TV, and, you know, we're just relaxing. And we're probably about 30 minutes into watching TV. And then we hear furniture moving upstairs above us. And this wasn't like a sound that you could ignore, like, oh, that was just, you know, the wind or something else, blaming on something else. It sounded like someone dragging a dresser across the room. That obviously freaked me out. It freaked my girlfriend out. But, you know, I'm trying to play it cool, you know, not to get her, you know, scare her anymore, because we just got moved into this house and I don't want to think that it's haunted or anything, what's going on. So I was just like, oh, it's nothing. It was just, you know, whatever. It's no big deal. But inside my head, I'm thinking like, what was that? You know, I'm freaking out. I'm just trying to keep her calm, whatever. Hopefully she'll just forget about it. And, you know, so I let about another half hour go by. And so I decided like, oh, I'm just going to go check upstairs without telling her. I was like, oh, I just got to go upstairs, do something real quick. So I went upstairs. I looked in the room where we heard the noise and nothing was moved. The only thing that was in there was a bed. There was no dresser or anything. Everything was still the same. This was a spare bedroom. It wasn't our bedroom we were staying in. So I was like, oh, this is really odd. I don't know what that noise was, you know? So no big deal. So went back downstairs. Yeah, nothing happened that night. I would say about a few nights later, we started noticing when you'd walk into a room, especially in the downstairs area, kitchen, living room, and bathroom. When you walk in the room, the lights would dim. And they would dim so low, like you can actually see like the inner workings of the light. It was so low. It was just like very bizarre. I'm like, is it, you know, maybe it's just an old house and it's just, you know, the vibration of the floors is just messing with the lights or whatever. But it was just too coincidental that anytime you'd just be in a room, even if you weren't moving or were moving, the lights would just flicker and just really dimmed down really low. And, you know, it was just real subtle at first with these little incidences, but it would keep happening. And then one night, you know, we went to bed and we just went to bed. It was pretty early. It was probably about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Just shut off the light, hop into bed. And we hear footsteps coming up the stairs, like towards our bedroom. And I was like, oh my God, what is going on? So, and we could just hear it coming up the stairs. We know no one's in the house. We were just downstairs. And it's just getting closer and closer. And it finally reaches the top of the steps. Now it's coming into the bedroom, the steps. And it's just getting closer and closer to the bed. And she just grabs me and just like, holds me, buries her head in my chest. Just, you know, she doesn't want to see anything. I'm closing my eyes because I don't want to see anything. You know, and it just came right up to the bed, almost like it walked through the bed and it was gone. I didn't hear anything else. I open up my eyes and there's nothing there. It was like, you know, it was just, it came in, it was right next to us. You could almost like feel the presence that was there. And then it was gone. And it just really freaked us out. So from this point on, we pretty much knew like, all right, there's something going on here. You know, what's happening? And we're both kind of, because I come from, like, I don't believe in this stuff, you know, paranormal at the time. You know, I'm not very religious. I'm not very spiritual at the time when this was happening. So for me, it was very confusing. I was just like, wow, this is just, this is what people talk about when they experience this stuff. You know, now I'm like, okay, all right. You know, you can't just blame it on an old house and hearing old, you know, noises. But it was just more than that. So about, we were probably living there for probably about, you know, about 6 weeks or so. And I ended up, so my landlord came back. She was doing one of her photo shoots. And before she came back to our house, we ended up bumping into her at a restaurant. And she was there with a few of her friends. And some of her friends, well, one of her friends was a roommate of hers who lived in the house before us. So when I saw my landlord, I just walked up. I was like, hey, hey, how are you doing? This and that. First thing she says to me is like, what do you think about the ghost? And I was like, I'll be honest with you, Amy. I'm not too happy with it. You know, it's kind of freaking me out, you know? And she's like, you know, so we were talking about it and she was giving me a little bit of her background with it. And so I ended up talking to her roommate that was there with her. She used to live with her in the same house. And she was telling me a story of hers that she used to live there with a, I think there was four of them total in that house. And one weekend, she was the only person there. They all went away. She was in the downstairs bedroom. And it's kind of by like the side door of that's the entrance of the house that everybody uses. But so she went to bed one night. And when she went to bed, she, you know, she shut her door. As soon as she hopped into her bed, she heard knocking at her door. So she opened the door. No one's there. So she would shut it, go back to bed. And she said she would hear pounding on her door. And she didn't know what to do. She knew no one was there. She just basically hid under the covers and just cried herself the whole night. So, and now I'm listening to this and thinking, like, I have to go back to this place tonight and sleep. Like, I'm not feeling good about it. You know, now I'm starting to realize why my rent is so cheap. And, you know, I was thinking, like, oh, I wish I had known this prior to moving in. It seemed like these incidences were kind of like a couple times here and there, a couple, maybe a week or two apart, and then they just becoming more like almost daily, nightly, with things like door slamming. We would hear door slamming upstairs, and this is an old house, so there weren't like doorknobs. There were kind of latches, like hooking, you know, like a hook and a loop. So you'd hear a door slam upstairs. I'm like, oh, I must have not locked it. It might be the wind. So I go up. Nope, sure enough, it's still locked. And it's just, you know, it's just freaking us out, basically. Our landlord ended up coming over. She ended up staying one of the weekends she stayed with us. She actually brought her boyfriend over. And we were having dinner all together. And he was kind of, he felt like I felt about the whole paranormal and things. And it wasn't much of a believer. And he was telling me a story when they moved out of the house right before we moved in. They moved all the furniture out, except they left. The only thing they left was a kitchen table and a couch. That's it. And all the furniture was in the moving truck. The same thing happened to them. They were watching TV, and he said he could just hear furniture moving throughout the upstairs. And it just, you know, he just, it's basically the same experience that we were having. And it's just, and there's no denying it. It's just that the sound, it was so loud with the furniture moving. It's hard to explain. It's just, it's really freaky when it happens. While we were having dinner and he was telling his stories, my landlord, Amy, she started talking about it, her experiences. You know, she would tell us she was really into it. She would try to communicate with whatever was there. You know, she says she could did the whole Ouija board, everything, and thinks the ghost was a, you know, female and whatever. But she was really into it. I wanted nothing to do with that. But she was telling me the previous owner had similar experiences, the person that she bought the house from. And he's still out on the vineyard. I never got to talk to him, unfortunately. I really wanted to. He's still out there. He lives in another place out in the vineyard. But he would tell her that he would actually see, you know, things, see shadows, and like quite frequently. I never saw anything, but he claimed to see quite a bit. Same thing. He said it was, you know, just the spirit, whatever it was friendly, didn't mean to, you know, scare or harm anybody, but it was certainly freaking us out. But I would have incidents with what would happen quite a bit, actually. What would start happening daytime. I would get home probably, you know, maybe an hour before my girlfriend would get home. One day, I just got home from work. You know, I throw on the TV. I'm just kind of relaxing. And so I hear the back door, which we use to come in the house. And I heard that door open, and then there's a mudroom, then there's another door to the kitchen to get into the house. So I hear the side door open to get into the house, and then the other door, the mudroom, to get into the kitchen. I hear that open and shut. So I said, "Yeah, like, hey, how you doing? How's work?" And there was no response. Like, oh, that was weird. So I was like, "Hey," and no, still no response. So I look out in the driveway, her car's not there. I'm like, wow, that was really bizarre. I just thought, you know, I kind of imagined that. I was like, all right, maybe I just thought I heard her come home. Next day, same exact thing happens, you know, and she's not there. So this ended up having, this is almost a daily thing at almost the same time every day. And, I tell her this, you know, and she's not about it at all. And she doesn't want to stay there anymore. So long story short, she ends up moving out. You know, she's only been there for not even 3 months and she leaves. So now I'm in this house by myself. You know, I'm not really that comfortable being there, but you know, I signed a lease. I'm not going anywhere. So I'm staying. I mean, one good thing was where I was living at the time, a lot of people wanted to come out and visit because it's kind of a vacation spot. So I had guests over almost every weekend, which was really nice. So if anybody wanted to come out, they can come out because I really enjoyed the company and not being there alone. And one night, right after my girlfriend moved out, my sister's like, oh, I'll come out and visit. So I'm like, great, this will be great, you know? So she was coming after work. So I knew when I had to go pick her up at the ferry, I knew it was going to be dark out when we came back. So I left a bunch of lights on in the house, the floodlight outside. When I went to go pick her up and we came back, pulled in the driveway, every single light on is off in the house. You know, you got to be kidding me. And she's like, what's wrong? And she's like, and I told her, I was like, I left every single light on pretty much in the downstairs and outside, and, you know, so we didn't have to, you know, walk in the dark. And now every single light is off. So where this neighborhood was, we didn't really have any close neighbors. We had a pretty big yard. It was a dirt road. And I think there was only like one other neighbor on the street that lived there during this time of year. So we pull, you know, so when you pull up, it's very dark. I was trying to avoid that whole situation with no lights on. Here I come home and every single light I turned on is off. So, you know, it's just things like that. You just can't explain it. But, you know, so we go in the house. Nothing else happens that weekend, but I would have other guests over. Friends would come over who would experience things of hearing noises, but the lights would totally freak them out when they'd walk into a room and they would see the lights just start flickering and flashing. you know, things like that, and then door slamming. So it was a very stressful time for me. And I was, here I am just thinking, how am I going to get out of this situation? And because I really didn't want to live there anymore. But after being there for about 8 months or so, my landlord called me and said she's thinking about selling the house, but the new owners would love for me to stay. And I was like, this is my out. So I left. I was like, sorry, Amy, but I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. You know, I was able to get out of that situation. But for me, you know, it was for someone that doesn't believe at that time, it was quite eye-opening for me, you know, and it was quite the experience. You know, it's just things I just really couldn't explain.
Sounded a spooky old place.
Yeah, the house was built in the 1800s. It was really old. But, you know, and what was going on there, it was very active. You know, and I wish at the time, I wish I knew more about like the shows like Ghost Hunters and things like that. Because I would have loved to have had someone out. Because I have a feeling they wouldn't have to spend much time there to find something, you know, or experience something.
Did you ever get the impression it was a female?
I didn't. I didn't. But my, you know, my landlord did. And she had, I forget, she even had a name for it. She, you know, she did the whole Ouija board and everything with other people. And she asked me to do it with her. And I just told her, I'm not interested. You know, I just, if I didn't live there, I'd probably do it, you know. But living there, knowing that I have to go to bed there every night by myself, it's a different situation. It's something I wasn't very comfortable with, you know.
Yeah, I understand. I went on investigations when I was younger, and I ended up moving into one of the places. And it's very different. It's very different when you go out investigating all these spooky locations, and then you end up living in a place.
Yeah,
you know, it's a very different story, especially if the place is very active and it's regular occurrence nightly.
Yeah, it was almost nightly, and then just the amount, the witnesses, the amount of people have had experiences there. I was like, okay, I'm not going crazy. You know, they're experiencing the same things I'm experiencing. You know, there was one night. It was actually when my girlfriend was still living there. I woke up, this is in the morning. So I woke up, it's light out, it's 7 in the morning, but it was really windy. And I hear the door slamming in the side door. And it's very distinctive. It's one of those, because it's old house, and you have to like, every door you have to like kind of like shimmy or whatever, just to lock it or open it or whatever. And so I hear it slamming. I'm like, oh man, I got to go down there and shut it, you know? So get up, walk downstairs, door shut, it's secure. I'm like, oh wow, okay. Go back up to bed, lay down. As soon as I lay down, again, it's just bang, 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 just slamming. I mean, it was slamming so hard, it sounds like the door is just going to fall off the hinge. Again, I get up, walk downstairs, and it's the door shut and it's locked. And it's just like, okay, all right, this is just what I'm dealing with, you know?
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
And, you know, at that point, I was just thinking, okay, this is something I have to live with temporarily, and I'll get through it, you know?
I mean, you do get used to it after a while, especially if it's regular things going on. And in fact, you get a little bit like, stop it. Give it a rest.
Yeah, that's true.
Doesn't mean you're not scared, though.
No, I'm not afraid to admit it. I was very uncomfortable, very uncomfortable. I did not like going home. I'll be honest with you. I really didn't.
Yeah, it's not so bad when there's ever people there with you, but when you're on your own and it's dark.
Yes.
Every single noise in the house, you know, all your senses are heightened.
Absolutely.
I've lived in some spooky places. I lived in an old coach house. It's an old public house. And one of the ghosts we used to have there, her name was Missy. And she was a landlady long, long, long time ago. She used to go around the pub late at night and she'd be slamming all the doors. And like, you know, like you said, that you check the door and it's bolted and locked.
Yeah.
We would have the same thing where you would hear these doors slam. You'd go and check it because obviously it's a public house and it's late at night. And the doors would be bolted. And we actually got a medium to come in. And she told us that Missy was very conscious about security and fire. So she would be constantly closing doors and stuff.
Interesting.
And she also said she used to own, she had like 10 cats. She had a load of cats. And you'd be in the bar and you'd see shadows going around your feet.
Oh, wow.
And that's what we reckon we were seeing, little ghost cats.
Oh, wow. That's pretty wild.
Yeah. I mean, she wasn't scary. She just used to bang doors constantly. She was more annoying than anything else. And so would you ever go back if they offered you a chance to move back in?
No, to move back in, no. But yes, I'd love to go back. What I really want to do is go back and talk to whoever's living there now and talk to them about if they experience anything. I'd really love to do that. I did try to contact the previous owner before my landlord because he owns a store out in the vineyard and still does. So I did go out there one time and I went to the store. He was working, but there was way too many customers. I waited around for a little bit and, but I was just, I also don't want to cause a scene either, you know, but so [S2] Sure. [S1] I was just hoping it would be really quiet and because he was pretty open. I mean, from what it seemed like. He was seemed pretty open about it. I would love to talk to him and get his experiences because his were quite different from mine, from what I hear. He would see things, you know, and I would probably see things too, but I, you know, like I said, I didn't want to see anything. So I just, when I heard those footsteps coming up the stairs, coming into the bedroom, I just shut my eyes. I didn't want to see anything. I honestly don't know how I'd react. You know, I don't know if I'd, I'd just be like, okay, we're leaving tonight. we're out, you know, I'm not sure.
Well, you know, when you hear people say, if I ever see a ghost, you know, I'll stand right there and I'll talk to it. I'll take pictures, whatever. But that's not always the case.
No.
Your body does completely the opposite of what you want to do. Your body just does what it wants to do. Simple as
that. Yeah.
You're either going to freeze or you're going to run.
Yeah.
It's fight or flight.
Oh, yeah, I froze.
And it's normal.
Yeah. But yeah, like you said, it got so normal, especially with the doors opening and shutting. I'm just like, hey, whatever, you know, it's just part of life right now.
It's when you get the shakes. I call them the paranormal shakes.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're violently trembling. In fact, you said about your friend that would hear the latch, the door would keep on banging.
So you're talking about the roommate that was there?
The roommate. That's right. That was Amy's roommate, wasn't it?
It was she lived with my landlord. So when my landlord, before I moved in, she lived there with three other girls, I believe. They all went away for the weekend and except for one of them and she stayed home. Yeah. She told me that story about the banging on the door. And she said it lasted the whole night, basically the whole night. And she just cried herself to sleep. Well, not to sleep because she couldn't sleep.
Yeah, that would be scary. Especially if it's like a little, like you said, those little hook latches. They're only small, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Might have been just trying to scare her, you know.
Well, that's what I, the way I look at it, you know, I don't think whatever it was evil, but it was definitely trying to scare. It was definitely trying to scare me, you know. Yeah, whoever was in the house, they were definitely getting their attention, you know.
If they've been there a long time, they might not like certain people that come and live in their house.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of got to look at the way how you'd probably react, you know. I don't know.
I guess.
I'm sure, you know, you are in life and you as you are in death, aren't you? So I suppose if you're a mean person in life, then I'm sure you'd be a mean person in death.
Yeah, it's true.
But then again, if you're a bit of a joker, then I'm sure you'd have some fun with the living.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what was going on.
Okay, do you want to move on to 2011?
Yeah, so 2011, I experienced sleep paralysis. I didn't know much about it. I basically didn't know anything about it. All I knew is, what I thought sleep paralysis was, you basically wake up, your mind wakes up before your body, and eventually you kind of snap out of it. That's what I thought it was. So I would say I woke up, it was probably about 2 or 3 in the morning. I'm laying in bed and I'm lying on my back and my eyes are wide open and I can't move. I can't move at all. That I can't move my body. Immediately I felt a presence in the room. I definitely felt like I wasn't alone. Whatever was with me in the room, it felt evil. It felt like it didn't have good intentions at all. It just very demonic, you know? And so I'm laying there in bed and I'm just trying to shake out of it. I didn't realize what was going on. I was just having a really hard time breathing too. And while this is going on, I see this figure next to me. Right next to my bed, standing next to my bed, tall shadow figure, and it's leaning over me. It's not touching me, it's just leaning right over me. Like its face is inches away from my face. And now I'm petrified because I feel like it's not touching me, but I feel an immense pressure on my chest, like somebody is sitting on my chest. I can't breathe. I'm trying to scream and nothing's coming out. And I see another figure like at the end of my bed near my feet, much smaller. I can't really tell what's going on, but I'm more concentrated on this one in front of me. It feels like whatever this is the one that's in charge. And this felt like it went on for several minutes. It probably only lasted maybe a minute or so, but it felt like it went on for quite some time. It was probably one of the most terrifying experiences I ever had in my life because I just did not know what was going on. Just feeling that pressure, like I'm being held down and just not being able to breathe or scream, talk or anything. I used all my force and eventually I was able to break out of it. And when I did, my body was just shaking. Because I was just trying to get out of it. And I just woke up like in a sweat, you know, just yelling, you know, nothing's there. When I finally do break free, it totally freaked me out. So I didn't know it was sleep paralysis. It felt so real and it felt like whatever was in my room, it felt like it was there. Because even before I saw it, Nick, I felt the presence of something there. And the odd thing is, before I even saw it, it felt like whatever was there and what I was feeling, it didn't have good intentions. You know, so I did some research on it after. I'm like, was I abducted? You know, I wasn't missing time or anything. I was just looking at all the wrong things because I just didn't know what happened. And finally, when I came across sleep paralysis, and I was just blown away of how similar my experience was to other people. It's quite the experience. It's never happened since, but that one time, it just really blew my mind. Cause it I'm telling you, it felt so real. I was awake. I'm lying in my bed. I saw this thing and I felt it. Like, I felt the presence. It was there, you know, and just to finally, when you snap out of it, nothing's changed. You know, everything in your room, nothing's in the room with you. But just to hear other people's experiences. And, I watched that Netflix documentary they had, you know, a couple of years back, and I was just like, wow, it's like, that's spot on what happened. And it's quite terrifying.
It is scary.
Yeah.
Especially if someone hasn't experienced themselves, it's hard to convey how much fear you actually have.
Yes.
But years ago, there was a film, I think it was back in the 80s now. It was all about voodoo. It was called Serpent and the Rainbow. It's about this journalist that goes to Haiti. And he gets some of that voodoo powder. They turn him into a zombie.
Yeah.
So he's completely comatose. He can't move. He can see out of his eyes and he can move his eyeballs, but he can't move his body. That's the way I kind of relate what it's like, is you cannot move. You can see and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly it.
And it's scary.
Yeah. And I find it so pretty incredible that, like, everybody experiences, like, that feeling of whatever's in the room with them. It has bad intentions. Like, it's just, you feel a presence of evil. Just really, really weird that everybody has that experience. Seems to.
It's not, not always the case, but generally people that have suffered from sleep paralysis at some point, because I often find with mine, I had it from a very early age, and the older I got, more of a space between each episodes I would get. So the last, I'm in 43 now, and I haven't had it since 33 now, but it's scary. But when I was a kid, I'd tend to get them near enough every probably 6 months.
Oh, wow. Year.
I didn't always see things in the room. I would often know that something is in the room, or I'd see shadows in the room. So it would vary.
Yeah, that's what really scared me, was the pressure on my chest, you know, and yeah, just seeing that figure. It was just a dark, it wasn't, you know, just really tall, slim, dark, shadowy figure. But yeah, just feeling that pressure on my chest, like I can't breathe, you know, quite the experience.
Scary. And you can't move.
No.
You can't move at all. And that's makes you very vulnerable.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I wonder actually how common it is. Because I've spoken to quite a few people actually on the show, and they've had episodes of it, you know?
Yeah, I've heard people on your show have it. I haven't met anybody in person who's told me about their experience. Maybe they have. I've only brought it up to a couple of people, to be honest with you. But yeah, I haven't heard anybody tell me any of their experiences.
And it was years as well before I even knew what it was.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
When I was a kid, I didn't have a clue. Didn't know what it was whatsoever.
Yeah, it must have been really frightening as a kid.
It was just something that happened that was very scary. The first time it actually happened, the light was on. I wasn't in the dark. And I was face down, but my head was like to the left. And I was on my front, and the lights were on, and I'd fell asleep, and I kind of, you say you wake up, but I could hear.
Oh, wow.
I've probably said this on a previous episode, but
yep.
I could hear what sounded like, you know, like ants down a hole. You know, the old nature programs where they used to put the cameras down.
Oh, wow.
And they used to see inside the actual ant nest. It's that sound.
That's pretty scary.
That sound the ants would make as they were moving around with their little legs and stuff.
Wow.
Going about their business. That's what I could hear. And it was loud. Yeah, so that was the first time I ever had it that I remember. That was pretty scary.
I just found it with sleep paralysis. Pretty bizarre. It's like you feel like everybody feels that presence, like you're not alone, you know. It's just like, why do you feel like you're not alone, you know? Like, immediately before I saw anything, I just, like, I'm not alone in this room right now, you know. Like, it kind of, you know, it's freaks you out.
Yeah, it certainly does make you wonder, you know, because you're obviously crossing like a border, you know, between being awake and asleep. Makes you think, you know, what are you kind of connecting with? You know, are you still in a dream state? Are you still in a dream world? You know, are there things out there which, you know, makes you wonder?
Yeah, exactly.
It's unusual that you'd actually experience things in the room if it was purely just your body
exactly.
asleep.
It's pretty wild.
And your mind awake. That's pretty much what it is. Your body's asleep, but your mind's awake, but why are you experiencing these things in the room? It is pretty wild. And I know when I'd have it and my wife would be next to me, all she would hear would me be going, and that's me trying to scream. That's what I was doing. I was trying to bring myself out of it by screaming. But she just thought I'd be like just, you know, just having a dream. But no, I was awake but couldn't move.
Yeah, I wonder now, because, you know, since I know much more about it, I didn't know anything about it when it first occurred. And I wonder now if it happened to me again, how would I react? Or would I try to control it, the situation, I guess, if it was even possible? You know what I mean? If I would wake up, I'm like, okay, I know what's going on. This happened to me before, you know?
I sure do.
Yeah.
Well, we used to find ways of being more comfortable with it. It was always scary because you can move. But I'd find that once you realize what's going on, you can then try and wake your body up. And I'd start by, you know, starting with a little finger or a toe, and then slowly I'd be able to regain the feeling in my body and then start moving again. But it was a long time before I realized, calm yourself down, relax, it won't last long. And I never knew how long it actually lasted.
Yeah, it's tough to tell. It could be seconds. It could be minutes. Who knows? You know, that's why I couldn't tell how long it lasted at all. It felt like forever.
It sure did. And yeah, touch wood. I wouldn't really like someone else to experience it. It is scary. Yeah, and having you can't move and you have things, people in the room. It's unusual. Great stuff, Matt.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. It's great having you on, man. I really appreciate you coming and sharing that for us today.
I'm a big fan of the show. And, you know, what you created, it's great. You know, the platform for everybody to share their experiences. And I think it makes, you know, people who are uncomfortable about these situations that experience something, it makes them feel like they're not alone, you know?
It's great. A lot of our listeners are very like-minded. I don't bring people on here to, you know, pick holes in stories or ridicule them or anything like that. That's not what the show is about. It's just like what you said, people to come on and just share it.
Yeah. No, it's a great show.
Good stuff, Matt. You enjoy the rest of your evening.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
That is all for this episode. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A special thanks for Matt for sharing tonight, and thank you for listening. I will be back on Sunday. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.